Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Welcome to the latest chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn. This chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast is brought to you by Revell, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Revell offers practical books that bring Christian faith to the everyday life, whether through fiction, Christian living, self-help, marriage, family, or youth books. Each Revell publication reflects relevance, integrity, and excellence. On today's episode of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, we have author Irene Hannon here to discuss her latest work, The Labyrinth of Lies. Hi, Irene. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I would love for you to tell me more about the book, Labyrinth of Lies.
Okay. First of all, I should say that it is book two in my Triple Threat series. Mm-hmm. And this series focuses on three sisters who are all involved in truth-seeking professions that put them in the line of fire. Mm-hmm. So this is the middle book. And I should also say for any listeners or viewers that if you haven't read the first book in the series, it's not a problem, because when I write a series, each book can be read as a standalone. Mm-hmm. So the story starts and ends in that book. And in this case, in each of the books of the series, a different sister is featured, but her story is completely separate from the others.
Okay.
I always try to tell people that, because so many people hear book two and think, oh, well, I can't read that because mm-hmm. I haven't read the first book, but that's not the case. So in this book, we are visiting with Kate, the oldest sister, and she is a police detective. And she has been sent undercover to this private, exclusive girls' boarding school to investigate the disappearance of one of the students, who is the daughter of a very high-profile business executive. So she goes to the school undercover, and she gets there and finds out that the man that she once loved is also at the school in a kind of a different role, mm-hmm. a very unexpected. So there's a reunion aspect to this as well. And they end up working together to try to figure out what happened. And as they sort of dive in and begin to go beneath the layers of this school, which has this very great image, uh-huh. they find out that not all is quite as rosy as it seemed to be at Ideal Hill Academy, and that a lot of the people there are not who they seem to be. So the danger escalates as they get closer to figuring out what happened, and ends up in a very tense and dramatic situation at the end.
What do you use for the intro of your story?
Well, in this case, I get the question a lot of where do you get your ideas, mm-hmm. and what inspires your ideas for a particular story? And, you know, the funny thing about that is I usually can't go back ever and say, this is where the story started, and this is what inspired me, and this is what got me on this path. What usually happens is that I overhear conversation, or I read something, or I observe a situation, and it kind of gets the what if-ing going. You know, what if this happened? What if that happened? And so I always start my stories with just like this single strand of something that I start to research. And as I research, more strands kind of get pulled in. And it's very much like what one of my fellow authors said, you create this web, and by the end of the web, you can't really go back and say, well, there's the strand that started it, because it just kind of builds. So I can't really say how this story was inspired, the whole concept of the story, but I did know that I wanted to feature the oldest sister as a police detective undercover. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I guess the genesis was. And then I wanted to do a reunion story, and I had to figure out an interesting way to get that reunion aspect to work. And I just kind of built from there.
Okay. Now, you said it in St. Louis. Why did you pick that city?
Because it's easy. Honestly, that's the reason. My suspense books are really not location contingent. Okay. They're more character stories than anything. A lot of writers, when they write a story, they will use the setting almost as a character. Mm-hmm. I don't really do that. Most of my stories could be set anywhere. And because I do so much research for my books, like when I finish a suspense novel, I usually have about 100 pages of single space typed research notes and citations. Wow. So huge amounts of research for every book. So using a setting that I'm familiar with just takes one research piece off my plate and gives me a little more time to focus on other areas of research and writing. So that's really why I do it. I know the area very well. And the fun thing about that is because most of my suspense books are set in St. Louis is that mm-hmm. I can sometimes weave in characters from previous books, okay. which new readers don't know, but readers who have been following me for a long time recognize them. And it's like seeing an old friend. Mm-hmm. So there's an advantage in that way also to doing sort of using the same setting over and over again.
Oh, completely understand, you know, whatever makes it easier. That you have this gift of being able to mix suspense and romance together. How do you find a balance for those two in your stories?
I just had this question not that long ago. And, you know, it's not that difficult. And in some ways, it's almost easier to write romantic suspense than straight romance, because With romantic suspense, you've got, of course, your plot that's suspenseful and it's mystery or whatever. Okay, so you've got that going on. And that tends to be a hard-driving, very high stress, keeping the reader on the edge of their seat the whole time when they're reading suspenseful mm-hmm. parts of the book. But it's really hard to sustain that level of intensity for a whole book. So when you have a romance element as well, you can use that to balance off the suspense by using the relationship creation to give some quieter moments during the story where readers can sort of catch their breath mm-hmm. and also get to know the characters. So it's kind of just a balance of back and forth. And I had a review, I'm trying to think, it was within the last couple of years from somebody, and it was very prestigious review site. And it was a male reviewer. And he got to the end of the review, and it was a good review. And he said, but at the end of the day, he said, I couldn't really tell if this was romance or suspense. And I thought to myself, at first, I didn't know how to interpret that comment. I thought, is that a criticism? And I don't know how he intended it, but I took it as a compliment, because to me, that meant I had balanced the two so well and integrated them so well that he couldn't tell which one it was, which is exactly right, because it's a meshing of the two is what you want. So it works really well to do that. As I said, it allows you to have the high intensity moments and then you switch over to the quieter relationship moments. And it's just a really nice balance.
Yeah. Now, you have been called the queen of inspirational romance. And you also write contemporary romance as well as writing romantic suspense novels. Is there one that you find easier, one that you like more than the other, or is it just kind of whatever comes to your mind when you're putting the story together is how that kind of gets put together?
Well, I typically in recent years have alternated between the two genres, one book in one, then I switch to the other. And that's worked well because the suspense books are extremely intense. They're very intense. I do pretty deep psychological dives in my characters, including the villains, and that's pretty scary place to be sometimes. Yeah. So I do these deep dives in those stories, high intensity, high danger. And when I finish one of those, I'm very ready to go to my contemporary romance. I'm writing a long running series now called Hope Harbor. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to go back to my little Oregon seaside town where there's plenty of drama, but not of the life and death variety. So being able to switch back and forth actually recharges my batteries a little bit for the other genre. I think when I finish one, I'm ready to go to the other. And by the time I finish my Hope Harbor books, I'm geared up for suspense again. So it just has worked very well for me.
Oh, I love that. Now, what do you want the reader to take away from Labyrinth of Lies?
Well, you know, my primary objective always is to entertain. I want readers to find something engrossing that takes them out of their regular life, just gives them a chance to relax and be in a different world for a while. So that's always my top goal. But in this book, there was a very strong emphasis on forgiveness. There was a real strong history between the hero and heroine that was not too happy. And they had to overcome a lot to find a way back together. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it involved forgiveness. So that was a strong theme in this book. And then the other thing this book, I think readers will take away, is I kind of highlighted the danger of temptation, I suppose, and how it's very easy to lose your way on the path of life and find yourself in a position where you can't backtrack. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a cautionary tale. Be careful about the choices that you make.
Yeah. Thank you, Irene, for coming today and talking to us about your latest book, Labyrinth of Lies. If you like the latest chapter of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast, make sure to click the button below for the latest chapter notes so you never miss another chapter. I'm your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.